I know, God, I have a word that I want to share with you. And it's really a word that continues from the one I preached this morning in the Camden campus. I preached this morning about revival, but not just having an event. If you remember, we're not talking about just having an event, but the event having us. Amen. And we're talking about not just going to a conference, but we are wanting to have revival every day of our lives. That is what God has called us to do. We are to be a revival. We're to be that way. And so I am not, again, I want to say this, I'm not against going to conferences. I love going to conferences. One of the funny stories that I didn't tell this morning, didn't have enough time to, but Dad would drag us to those Benny Hinn conferences, you know, and we'd go to, and Benny Hinn would be blowing on people, and the Spirit of God would just lay them down. And we thought it would be fun because Benny would say, won't you hold hands in the aisles, you know? And it was us that when he would say, take it, we would pull people down in our row, you know, just to pull them down like a train. We thought it would just be fun to just pull them down, you know. And so they'd come up and they'd be like, you know, what happened to you? Benny would say, what happened to you? And one would say, you know, I believe God killed me. He healed me of cancer, but my neck hurts. You know, I don't know what's going on with that. That'd be us. That was us right there. And so I love going to conferences. I know God does great things, but I also know this. I know that that he wants us to be a conference to those that are around us. He wants us to exude and reek of his presence. I want you, when you go into schools, thanks, Dad, when you go into work, when you go into places, that you reek with the presence of God. That you reek with it. Just everybody, what is that smell? What is that that you got on the end? What is that? What is that? What is that aroma? That's the presence of the living God that lives on the inside of me. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives in me and quickened my mortal body can be in you. Amen. That is what the world needs. And so I love the fact that he talks about that. We're talking about being a spiritual revival, an everyday encounter with the Lord. And tonight I want to continue that message by talking about how to cultivate a revival, personal revival in your family. How many know that our families need reviving? Amen. I believe so. I want to talk a little bit about that. I want my family to be all that God's called them to be. And so we need to have personal revival every day in our family. Amen. That's where it starts. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to contend for our family in prayer at the end. How many of you will join me when contending for God to do great things in your family? I'm believing that your family will be a change. Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? So Lord, I want to thank you for this night already. Lord, I thank you that you are with us. You're in our midst. Lord, we don't even have to ask you to come. You're already here. And I thank you, Lord, that even right now, Lord, as people are not knowing exactly what's going to happen, this we know is true. When you show up on the scene, transformation comes about. When you show up in our midst, Lord, we can't help but be transformed by the power of your love and by the power of your presence. We can't help it, Lord, because that is what you choose to do. We are not about being comfortable, but we're about being conformed into your image, Lord. And we want to step out of our comfort zone, step out of the places, Lord, that you're wanting us to step out. Fear has no place in this house tonight in Jesus' name. Doubt has to go and unbelief has to go in the name of Jesus. Any strongholds where people have had in their minds about their family, any place and they've had in their mind about things not being able to change, I want to break and cut through that right now in the name of Jesus. Any place where hope has not been shared, any place where there's been given up and there's been hopelessness, I pray for a hope to spring up from the ground right now in the name of Jesus. Any place where they're not thinking in their mind that things can change and that their family's going to always be this way, I pray that there would be such a breakthrough tonight in the name of Jesus that transformations happen and it spreads like wildfire throughout their families tonight in Jesus' name. So why don't you just lift your hands and just receive that right now. It's that right there, that anointing is in this room right now. If you can receive it right now, we don't even have to get to the message. There's an anointing to break open yokes right now before we get into it. If you'll reach up and grab that, somebody in here needs a miracle in their marriage. You can already do that before we even talk about it. Somebody else needs a miracle with their relationship with their child. Don't wait for a message. Go ahead and call upon the messenger who is Jesus to go ahead and break through that right now in the name of Jesus. Some of you need to read and contend for that even right now. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, that you're changing our mindsets. Come on, we're changing our mindsets right now. You're delivering us out of old ways of thinking right now. You're delivering us out of old ways of doing things right now. Bringing us out of a backward state onto the forefront right now. Go ahead and ask the Lord for it. We don't even have to wait for a message. I'm telling you, God wants to do something in our midst right now. We don't have to wait. Every devil is a liar right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, stand to your feet right now and begin to contend right now for what God wants to do in your family. I know I got a message, but I may get to it, but I'm telling you right now is an opportunity for you to jump in both feet to get what God wants you to have for your family. I wouldn't wait for nobody else to tell me. If there's an anointing in the room to break open for families, I wouldn't wait for somebody to come and tell me I gotta pray and I would already pull down the tabs of heaven. I would already step into a place, Lord. Right now, begin to cry out for your family. Right now, in Jesus' name, God. I'm thankful, Lord, that you are in our midst, Lord, and you're breaking down barriers. I see him breaking down walls right now. I see him handing keys to people to be able to unlock relationships that have been locked. Some of you got those big old rusty locks on there. God said, I am the key, and I will open up. Whatever man can't open up, I can open it up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Come on, call upon your name. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Already, Lord, would you begin to do it? The Holy Spirit is in this place right now. I feel him right now in this place. If you won't just look around, don't look around. Just begin to call upon. Right now, he's in this place. Right now, he's doing things. Right now, he's getting ready to change some thinking and some things going on in your life, God. Thank you, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. My, there's an anointing to break the yoke, to break open the yoke, break the yoke over in Jesus' name, open in Jesus' name. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, ye everlasting doors, and be ye lifted up, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. He is this King of glory. The King of glory contends for you tonight. The King of glory goes before you tonight in Jesus' name. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. Some of you are asking, who is the King of glory over my family? Who is the King of glory that's opening doors for my family? His name is Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are you ready to receive what God has for you? We're not playing tonight. We're going to see breakthrough in our family's lives. I'm telling you, we'll see breakthrough. We're tired of the enemy trying to do things that he wants to do with our families, and breakthrough has to come about in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Are you ready for that? Look at somebody next to you and say, all right now. Look at the other person and say, are you ready? All right, y'all have a seat. We're just having a conversation. We're just talking. We're just talking. We're just talking. I remember when my little kids were younger, and one of them had a bad dream, a real bad dream, and they came to me and they were scared. And they were just saying to Daddy, could you please just pray for me? I said, I'm gonna pray for you. And I prayed over them to steal them, just, hey, listen, you're protected because God is in this house. And he protects you. Whatever the enemy tries to come in, God is in this house. And they said, she said, it's my youngest daughter. She said, Daddy, don't you ever get afraid sometimes? I said, sometimes I get afraid. She goes, well, how do I know if you're afraid? How are you going to protect me if I'm afraid? She said, don't you ever get afraid of monsters under your bed? I said, yes. No, not really, because I have three of them called Smith & Wesson and Ruger and Benelli and Beretta, and they're all under there. If they can get past those, I think we'll be all right. Amen. She goes, I don't know any of those guys. I said, you don't need to. As long as I know where they are, we're all good. The enemy, listen to me, you're laughing, but the enemy is that hostile in trying to take your family. I have never seen in the years of ministry here recently like I've seen where the enemy has tried to take out families one by one by one. picking off families, families that seem to be strong, families that seem to be in the words, families that seem to be going strong in the things of God, and all of a sudden come to ruin. What is that about? What is the enemy? Why is the enemy trying to amp up his attack on families? Because I'm telling you, if we're going to have revival in the church like we're talking about, it's going to start with families. If we're going to have this outpouring and outcoming of all the people of God coming into the church, we have to start with strong families. And the enemy knows that in order for the church to continue to be strong, because the Bible says that the kingdom of God is increasing. Amen? The kingdom of God is increasing. It's always moving. It's expanding. And everywhere that it goes, it cannot be stopped by the enemy. But I'm telling you this, one of the ways that the enemy does this is he comes and he attacks the family. And he's trying to get the family off of the spot that God has for them already. And I don't know about you, but I know the enemy has tried to attack our family. He's tried to attack it in different ways. Some financial, some ways he tried to attack in health and different things that we didn't understand what was going on. But somebody in the house has got to get to a place that they say no more. Amen? Have you ever got into, can I preach just a little bit tonight? Have you ever got to a place where you've gotten sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired at some point? Amen? My mother would get to that place a lot of times, you know? And she would say certain things and she'd be talking and I'd say to my brothers, as long as she's talking, we all right. It's the minute she stopped talking, that's when we need to do something. And we need to start fearing, because the day that she stopped talking, that means that she's already hoisted her warfare weaponry. And my mother would be like the one that, hey, come pick your arsenal. What is it that you want to get beat with? You know what I'm saying? Come pick it. Here it is. Like the Romans, you know, here you go. Switch, gun, bat, whatever it is you want. Go ahead and do it. Mother was, she was good. She could toss stuff. And if you was good like the Matrix, you know what I'm saying? You could dodge it. I wasn't so good that way. I was slow. I get hit with everything. Amen. But when she stopped talking, I knew she meant business. Amen. She would be in the middle of a sentence and be like, you know, and she'd walk off. We'd be like, oh man, so one of y'all's in trouble. Somebody gonna die today. Amen. If y'all can't find me, call the detectives. Amen. And so I'm telling you tonight, you're laughing, but some of y'all need to stop talking tonight. Some of y'all need to stop talking and get to a place where I'm tired of talking, but I'm ready to start praying and see breakthrough come about in my family. We talk about it all the time. We talk bad about, girl, you don't know what my husband did. You know, everybody know what your husband did because you won't stop talking. Am I meddling just a little bit? Can I get up in your Kool-Aid just a little bit? Amen. Well, if she would just submit to me, I'd be all right. How's that working for you? Amen. How's that working for you? She just do what I tell you to the hell to do. I need some support. Hey, why don't you love her as Christ said, as he loves the church, and you'll see change and breakthrough in your family. I just need some support. You know, I tried that. I tried to put my foot down and tell Vanessa what I think she should do. You know what I'm saying? And she just give me that look. And I just be like, you know, I think we ought to pray together about this. And therefore we can come to a conclusion about what needs to happen. Amen. And so I'm telling you that there's the enemy would love to try to take. He's always confused. And then there's the kids. Amen. The kids, I thought I was cool as a father. I thought I used to be cool. I'm telling you, you have kids and it's a total different thing. They will wear you out. So I got most of my mentors and stuff in here. I'm telling you all right now, I'm sorry. I repent to y'all right now of anything that I did. Just go ahead and forgive me, because I am getting it back 100-fold. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you what, stuff break, be like, what? How did this break? I don't know. You know, it just broke itself. Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? I did that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, goodness, right? So you have got kids into the mix, and I'm telling you, things can be chaotic. Amen. But God is wanting to bring the family back to him. In order to find out what God intended for the family, we always got to go back to the original mandate. So I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Genesis. Go back to the beginning. What were we designed to do? And as you're turning there, I want to say this to you while you're turning to Genesis. The word cultivate, because we're cultivating revival within our families. Everyday revival in our families. Here's what cultivate. It means to prepare and work on in order to raise crops. Amen. It means to promote or improve the growth of. Anybody want to see their family grow? I'm not just talking about numerically. Some of y'all are like, no, I'm good. I'm talking about see their family grow spiritually. Amen. To improve or grow, to produce by culture. I'm not talking about the culture of the world. I'm talking about the culture of heaven being produced in our families. To develop or improve by training, train, refine, to promote the growth or development of, to devote oneself to. Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, let's read it. It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind. And everything creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was what? It was good. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. That our is capitalized. So that's God talking in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have, this is our mandate. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God said, then God blessed him. How many know that God, when he starts something and he begins to put it together, he blesses you to be able to do it. He said, let them have dominion. He's talking to the Godhead. He said, let them have dominion. Let them have dominion over all these things. Then God automatically blesses them. He blessed them and God said to them, before he spoke to them, the first thing he did is bless them. Do you realize before he even said, this is what I'm wanting you to do, the Bible says he's blessed him. Do you know you've already been blessed in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? He's already prepared. He's already put in you to be able to do that. God said to them, be fruitful. Everybody say fruitful. And multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, see, I've given every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also, every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very what? Very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So here, God has set his mandate that we're to be fruitful and we're to multiply. We're to take dominion. We're supposed to be and this is what his mandate is for the family. If you're wondering what your family is supposed to do, can I just tell you, the mandate for the family is not just to make money. The mandate of the family is not just to exist. The mandate of the family is for us to have dominion and take dominion over the earth. Amen. We need to be able to do that. So how do we do that? I wish it was cut, dry, and simple. I wish there was just so much instruction about how to do that. I wish there was some kind of manual in the Bible that just talks about how to be the perfect husband, how to be the perfect wife. Because if it was, I'd read it. I'm telling you, but it says that God has given us this mandate and we want the best for our family. The only way that we're going to have the best for our family is for us to look and rely on the Spirit of God that he's put on the inside of us. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's got to be the Spirit of God. When I got married, I no one told me about it. I just thought, I just knew. I'm going to master this thing. I'm going to be the best husband that she ever had in her life. That was a lie from the pit of hell. And I was trying my best. I was just like, I'm going to love her. The only way I'm going to love her is for me to be able to just tell her what to do and try to do this. And I'm telling you, it doesn't work very good. Amen? And so she was trying. She said the same thing in her heart. I want to be the best wife that I can be. And I'm telling you, even in the ministry, it just gets crazy sometimes. So we had to rely and turn back to God. I can't tell you how much baggage I brought into the marriage. Amen. Everybody got baggage that they bring into a marriage, right? If you don't shake your head, you're lying. As we come up, we don't have all the college. I brought so much baggage into the marriage. And as she brought baggage into the marriage, and we had this big old room full of baggage. And the only thing that was going to get rid of that baggage was the freedom that God gave in the middle of my, so we went to, we went to Freedom Ministries to get free and got prayed for. And then we got prayed for some more. Then we got prayed for some more. And I'm telling you, God began to break open some old mindsets that I had, some old thinking that I've had. And all of a sudden I began to be free, and I wouldn't blame her for stuff, and she wouldn't blame. I mean, you know how sometimes in a marriage, nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions, right? Everybody's blaming everybody else. If you would just do what you're supposed to do, then I'll be all right. She go, me? And I go, yeah, you. If you would just do what you're supposed, and it would just be, you know, and somebody pop some popcorn. This is going to get good. Amen. It's going to get crazy. And I'm telling you, it was like that for a long time. But when God began to open our eyes about the freedom that he brings, I began to take responsibility for my, see, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so when I begin to recognize that my baggage ain't going to work, I got to take the lead for the family. Come on, fathers. I got to take the lead for the family and get rid of my junk and work on me, because I can't change her. I realized that everything else began to fall in line. I began to say, I'm sorry. And would you please forgive me? And it just shocked her. She did that Fred Sanford thing. Like, oh Lord, I'm coming to see you. Because how those words taste coming out of your mouth? I'm like, nasty, but I'm going to say it anyway. I began to take responsibility for my actions. And then all of a sudden she saw me taking responsibility for actions, and she started taking responsibility for hers. And all of a sudden we start repenting and saying, God, would you bring us back to the cross? Would you bring us back to the place of repentance? Bring us back to the place so that you can restore our family, so that we can be who you called us to be. Do you understand? Some of y'all saying amen just because everybody else did, but some of y'all need to say, oh me, because you know I'm talking to you. God wants to free you. Fathers and husbands have abandoned our post. We've abandoned our post. We've gone after success and business, and we've gone after other things, and we've abandoned our post and left the wives to run the household. You understand what I'm saying? And if you're here tonight and you think that by us electing an official is going to change families, you are wrong. Putting the right man in the White House is one thing, but putting the right man in the right house is another thing. You need to be back at your post praying with your kids, praying with your wife, seeing God. You need to wash your wife with the water of the word. I don't know any wife that don't like to take baths. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you what, even my girls, they just started taking baths. I mean, on Sunday morning, all the hot water is run out of our house. I'm like, can I take a shower? Brayden walks out, slams the door open, and there's steam coming out like she just walked off Mount Sinai, you know, and then we ain't nobody else got hot water. Guess I'm going to take a cold shower. Vanessa, like, you need to. But anyway, take a cold shower, and if she done run all the hot water out of the house. I don't know any wife that don't want to take a bath, but when you say that God has accepted you in the beloved, that you're his beloved, you're beautiful, and that you are blessed and highly favored, when you start saying things like, you wash all the negativity off of your wife. Husbands, return back to the post that God has for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Turn to your Bibles to Psalm 78. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. My favorite passage of Scripture is Psalm chapter 78. I'm actually going to read this. I don't normally do this, but I'm actually going to read this out of the Message Bible. Are you there? Read it. Here's what it says. This is what fathers need to do. It says, listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsel of a proverb. I'll let you in on the sweet old truths, stories we've heard from our fathers, counsel we've learned at our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves, but this is what we're doing. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and his fortune, the marvelous things that he has done. How many of you know that he's done marvelous things in our lives? And see, we can't keep it to ourselves. We got to pass it down to the next generation. The reason why you fathers need to be free, the reason why you wives need to be free, is because you got a generation of people that are watching you and that need to see the power of God at work in your lives. I'm telling you, our family, we changed because my father would get up in the morning at 5:30, relentless, and he would pray with us every morning. And he would pray with us every morning. And he would pray with us every morning. I'm like, everybody else, daddy is out playing catch, and everybody else, daddy is having breakfast and going fishing. And dad did take us fishing, but he would pray with us every morning without fail. So the reason why you hear me blurt out scripture the way I do is because I heard my dad pray those scriptures at 5:30 in the morning. Listen, we don't need, I love catch, I love going to baseball games, but what we need is some men that will get on their knees again on the face of God and cry out for God to change our families. What we need, yes, play catch with them. Yes, go fishing with them. But I'm telling you, what God is wanting to do is for you to make them fishers of men so that they can go out and change our world around them into the people that God has called them to be. I'm tired of going into the schools and seeing rebellious kids and fatherless kids, because God is raising up a generation of people who will know their God and do exploits in His name. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? And it's going to take fathers and mothers that will stand up and take the rightful place. You can't keep it to yourself. We just read. You can't keep it to yourself. You got to pass it on to the next generation. We're raising a generation of kids who won't take responsibility for their actions. Do you remember when you would go to school and you would ask the teacher about something, and the teacher would say, your son did this, and parent would believe the teacher, I mean, wouldn't believe the kid, but would believe the teacher. Amen? Well, they did or not. My mom always believed it was us. It was always us. I don't care what, it was my kid did it, but ma'am, it was somebody robbed a 7-Eleven. It was Chris. I know it was. It was him that did it. Can you give me a chance to explain? You don't need to explain. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to already see that you did it. We are raising a group of backwards generation. We have to change and flip the script. Say that with me, flip the script. We have to take responsibility for our actions, and we need to pray with our kids, we need to pray with our wives, and we need to bring them back to the bleeding side of Calvary and let them know that this is what we are for. We have got to get back to a place where our family that will stand up. One nation under God is one thing, but one family that will sit there and say that no matter what hell may come, our family, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I remember I would say, well, Daddy so-and-so said this. He said, I don't care. So-and-so ain't paying the bills around here. So-and-so ain't bought your clothes. I'm the one buying the clothes. And I'm telling you right now, I'm paying the bills. You hear that? That's the air conditioner. I'm paying that bill. So you're going to listen to me. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. And we get to get back to that place where we know that God is our God, and He's bringing us back to that place. Amen. But those of you that would say, yes, it's been backwards. It's been backwards. It's been backwards for the longest time. And so God is saying, would you reroute us? Would you reroute us, God, that would bring us back to the purpose of the family? And we're not keeping this to ourselves. And this is what He said. He planted a witness in Jacob and set His word firmly in Israel, then commanded our parents to teach it to their children. Do you know that it is not a suggestion for you to teach it to your children? You said nobody said anything. I'm saying, did you know? I'm going to ask again. Maybe you didn't hear me. Did you know that it was not a suggestion for you to keep it, to teach it to your children? It is a commandment. It was a commandment that set forth to teach it, to command it, to teach it to their children. And this is what I want you to hear. So that the next generation would know, and the next generation to come, the generation after that would know the truth and tell the stories so their children can trust in God and never forget the works of God. They would never forget the works of God. I've seen miracles and things are done in our family, and I'm telling you, I won't ever forget them. I've seen things happen in our family, even recently, where I'm just like, I will never forget what's going on. God is always wanting to bless. He's always wanting to do things, but I'm telling you, it's a family, and it starts with the head of the house, and aligning itself with God and say, God, I don't know about everybody else, but I want my family to be aligned with You so that we can be who You've called us to be. So that they would be able to tell stories. The Bible says that God told them when they crossed over the Jordan that they were supposed to make memorial stones. How many memorial stones do you have in your house of God's goodness and faithfulness? Do you have those memorial stones where you remember what God has done for you? Amen. It's okay for you to shout and dance in church, but do your children know the testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness that happened in the home? Do you hear what I'm saying? I know some of y'all wanted to come and just shout and I want that, but I'm telling you, nothing more important than family lining up with what God has to say about who they are in Jesus. Amen. Listen at this. So the next generation would know, and the generations to come to know and tell their stories and never forget the works of God. But keep his commandments to the letter. Heaven forbid. Listen at this. Heaven forbid. This is the Message Bible. They should be like their parents, bullheaded and bad. A fickle and faithless bunch who never stayed true to God. We don't want our generation to be like that. Amen. We want our generation to be those that would go after God with their old heart, and that they would know their God and be strong and trust in him and do exploits. Amen. I'm telling you, one of the things that I pray over my children all the time, I pray over them, is that they would not only see me preaching, but they would see me trying to live this life out on a regular basis. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to gain the church and gain salvation and lose my family. But I want to cry out on the altar with my kids and cry with them and tell them that God loves them. But at the same time, son, same time, daughter, we're going to line up with the word of God. And this is what the word of God says. We're going to forgive together. We're going to bless together. We're going to do the things that God has called us to do, simply because we're not just talking about a strong church, but we're talking about strong families in God. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you parents need to stop being best friends with your kids. Amen? I'm not trying to be best friends. I told especially my boys, I said, listen, I'm not trying to be your best friend right now. I'm your father. We will be best of friends when you get older. When you get out of the house, we will be the best of friends. But right now, I'm going to be a nightmare to you. Not really, but I do love them. But I'm telling you, there are things that God is telling me about them that I want to instill into their hearts, so that they know who their God is, that they would know that in the storms of life come. Because I'm telling you, if you're not preparing them for the storms of life, if they're not building their house on the rock, if they're not building everything and they're building on the sinking sand, when the storms of life come, they're going to fail and their house is going to crack and it's going to fall flat. But if you teach them to observe the kingdom of God and know who their God is, and they build their house on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected, if they'll build on that, I'm telling you, when the storms of life come, and they will come, I'm telling you, their house will stand in the midst of all the storms. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is wanting us to stand, and having done all to stand, so that our house, every day, we can have a revival that would infuse your children to love the things of God. Every time I see my kids worship, every time I see them raise their hands or whatever it is in worship, I cry, because I realize that they're having this encounter with God. There came a point in my life where I had to tell my kids that, hey, you can't go on mom and daddy's faith anymore. It's gotta happen for yourself. You can't just go on my coattails anymore, but you gotta have your own encounter with the Lord. I told them that. And I begin to pray. I'm like, Lord, would you get them? Would you arrest them? Some of you fathers need to pray to arrest them in the spirit. Lord, give them dreams. Give them visions in the middle of the night. Lord, would you get them? Wherever they are, God, would you arrest them? Would you get them? So one day at Taco Bell, while we were sitting there enjoying a burrito and a number three and all the cheese that you can give me, we were sitting there and I was able to lead my sons to the Lord at that Taco Bell. The same way my mother was able to lead me to the Lord when I was 8 years old beside her bed. And I'm telling you, I rejoice with the Lord. I'm telling you, Taco Bell is never the same again. Some of you gotta get out of the box, amen, and begin to share with them what God is done in your life. I told them testimonies of my life, and they gave their life to the Lord, and I'm telling you, we're still going strong. We got the McCrays are like the Energizer Bunny. We have had some hard times, but we keep on kicking, amen. I know some of y'all would like to do that. When we have hard times, we keep on going in God. Why? Because it's not us, but Christ that lives within us. Man, we've had some hard times. We've had some issues and stuff. We've had some issues and crazy stuff that have happened and taken me to submitting myself to the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm be vulnerable. There's been times when I've done that. I remember when we were $30,000 in credit card debt, and it was because of me. And I was being honest. Vanessa just came out. She just said, "What is this debt?" I go, "I don't know." And she said, "You do too know what it is." Can you imagine waking up and having $30,000 credit card debt? I'm telling you, it was crazy. And so the Lord spoke to me through some fathers and said, listen, if you would just let your wife look at these finances, I'm telling you, I said, well, I come from a family where the man's supposed to take care of the finances. Like, I don't believe that. You need to submit your finances. That doesn't mean that you don't have a say and you don't have the final word, but submit them. to your wife because she's good with money. And Vanessa is very good with money. He's very good money. I love money. I love it when they're passing through my hands and going to somebody else so that I can receive something. That's how much I love it. I love the dead presidents. I love all of them. I'm just telling you, I just love them all. But the truth is that I was just bad with money. And so when I reluctantly said, okay, I'm going to align this with my wife so that she can look over. I'm telling you, within the next 2 months, all that $30,000 of credit card debt was erased. All of it. Every single bit of it was erased. Not only that, y'all, you saying, don't stop, don't shout, don't shout now. But then we was able to buy a new truck debt free. She had bought me a pickup truck. I'm telling you, if you find a woman that'll buy you a pickup truck, you need to marry that woman. Let me just tell you right now. That's a woman after God's own heart. She bought me a pickup truck debt free. She bought me a boat debt free. She bought her a car debt free. And I'm telling you, I was looking around. I said, you know what? You can handle my finances all you want to. You know, I'm telling you because it's alignment and it's not something like, well, I can't do that. Would you get rid of your pride and say, God, whatever you want for my family, I want, because I know that it's the best thing that will happen. And I'm telling you, it's because it's just alignment. It's just different things. Because the Bible said, submit yourself one to another. Amen. So one to another. So there's things that I'm good at. There's things that she's good at. And we submit ourselves one to another. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody say this word with me. Say alignment. That's what you want, alignment. Can I tell you what? Sometimes when they hit those rocks and bumps in the road, every once in a while you got to take it in to get a what? And get an alignment. Some of you have hit some hard rocks. Some of you have hit some hard things in your marriage. Some of you have hit some hard things with your family. And God is saying that I'm calling you to what? Alignment. When the head aligns, everything else aligns with it. Some of you guys have been driving and you've had this wrestle with the steering wheel to keep it in the line. And God says, if you will just align with me, take upon my yoke and my burden, it's easy and it's light. I shared this with the men that the yoke is that you put your head inside the yoke and say, God, if my thinking has been off, I'm aligning my thinking with you about my family so that you can do what it is that you want to do. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? That goes for the children. That goes for children that have cursed their parents and said things about their parents. And all of a sudden you do these curses and they come back on you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Rebecca, they come back on you. There's things that I've said about my parents that I've had to ask for forgiveness. Like I said I would never do. And I find myself, do you ever do that? Like, I'm never going to say that. And all of a sudden you just find yourself saying it, you know, you just find yourself doing it. Just like, I'm never going beat my kids, but then you beat them worse. You know what I'm saying? Be like, get up. Let me help you find your other eye. You know what I'm saying? Stuff you said you never do. I'm not going to be harsh with my kids. Then all of a sudden you turn into the Hulk. Roar! You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be kind to my kids. I'm going to try to talk to them. I'm not going to just fly off the handle. I'm going to sit down and have a conversation with them and really see where their heart is. But the Bible said the heart above all else is deceitfully wicked. So come here, let me beat you. That's the only way you understand. I thought I would never say that. Like, I'm not going to beat my kids. I'm just going to love them. All they need is love. Yes, love them with a belt. I'm telling you, there's sometimes his love is a little deep. You're not going to kill you. My mama would read that scripture and made me memorize it. If you beat your child with a stick, he will not die, but you will save his soul from hell. They would quote that to us. Like, surely a loving God would not put that in the Bible. If you beat your son with a stick, read that. What does it say? Stick. If you beat your son with a stick, he will not die. See, son, I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to save you. You ain't trying to save nothing. You're trying to kill me. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to save your life. See, what? They were trying to save my life. I remember coming in one night. Hearing something in the room. We're coming in late one night. Me and Cricket dropped me off. I'm trying to tiptoe through the room and I can hear my dad on the floor in there crying out to God, crying. I'm talking about tears running down his face saying, God, I don't want my kids to go to hell. I went in my bedroom where my brothers were. I go, what'd y'all do? Dad said, we're going to hell. Y'all must have did something. We going straight to hell. And you going to hell with gasoline draws on. What did you do? Why are we going to hell? What did y'all do? Why is he in there crying? We like we didn't do nothing. It was a father that loved his kids and didn't want to see them end up in destruction. The reason why some of you are here today is because your grandmothers and grandfathers and fathers and mothers have prayed for you and you're still here today. Some of you should have been dead a long time ago. Some of you should have been taken out a long time ago. But grandmama prayers preserved you because she said, Lord, don't let them go into destruction, but save their souls. The reason why you're here because grandmama and them prayed for you. Can I tell you? I'm telling you that you should have been dead. I remember I was watching a movie one time and somebody was robbing somebody and they shot a hole through the wall, and the first thing they said is that somebody was praying for that fool because he should have been dead. Some of you should have been dead, but God came through for you through your parents' prayers. Can I tell you the reason why I'm still standing here having an AK-47 bullet come through my side and explode out the other side? Because people was praying for me. And not just my parents. My parents gathered other people to pray for me, and I'm still here. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell you? I am still here. Doctors, the other day I was at the doctor and they went through the x-ray. And I'm about to close. Went to the x-ray. And they called all the other doctors in. He's like, come look at this. Come look at this. Can you tell us what happened? So I was able to witness to all the doctors in there. They was looking at my x-rays. Like, yeah, I got shot. You mean you actually got shot? I go, yes, I was shot. Well, how did you survive? Let me stand up on the table. Let me tell you what happened. I was in a place where I got shot with this AK-47, and all the saints began to pray for me, and they told me that I was in critical condition, but they began to pray even more. Critical condition began to be stable condition, and stable condition began to be alive condition, and I'm alive and well today because people were praying for me, and my family was praying for me, and I'm still alive, and I'm seeing God do great and mighty things in my life and through my life and in my family's life simply because of family that would get together and pray and see God's kingdom come and his will be done in their lives. Can I just tell you something? And this is the last thing I'm going to say. The enemy has got crosshairs on your family trying to take them out. And if you are not moving toward the things of God, he will take them out one by one, starting with the head of the family. When I got shot, I asked him, I said, what were you aiming for? He goes, I was aiming for your head. I was aiming to try. He goes, I was looking, I was trying to take you out. And I'm telling you what happened was at the last second, I moved and it hit my stomach. And I'm telling you, that's a bad shot anyway. But I'm just telling you, I know that God was protecting me during that time. And if you will know that God's protection is the best protection of people who are praying for you. I know that God's plan is not my plan. His ways are not my ways. But then he says he reveals them to us. Amen. We begin to look. He said, I was hunting one day. I was hog hunting. And there was a bunch of hogs that just went in front of me. They just kept going. They kept going. And I could never get a good shot. And I was like, why can't I get a good shot? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, because they kept moving. Listen, it's hard for the enemy to get you if you're not moving. If you stand still, and you stay in a lethargic place, if you stay in the same place, and you stay in the same place, and you stay in the same place, and not progress and move on, it's easy for the enemy to pick you off. But if you are moving with God, if your family is moving with God, if you're going forward with God, if you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and listen to what I'm going to tell you this. Go ahead and stand up right now where you are. He is the author and finisher of your faith. He's writing. What I love about the author and finisher of our faith is this. He writes great chapters about your life. Some of you don't like the chapters that have been written already, but God said that he has changed it and the ending is better than the beginning. Some of you may have thrown in the towel for your family and a place in your family where you need change and you've been set about. Some of you have been praying for spouses. Some of you have been praying for your children. Some of you have been praying for God to do great and mighty things and you just like have given up, and God is saying that tonight transformation can happen. Though 1,000 fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come nigh me. Though a man falls 7 times, still he'll rise again. Amen. Some of you have been in those places and you're just like, I've given up. I just can't do it anymore. I can't take it anymore. Yes, you can't take it anymore, but I heard him say this, that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. His strength is made perfect. Look, I can't pray for him anymore. I can't pray for her anymore. I can't keep going like this. You don't understand what he's put me through. You don't understand how I've been feeling. I'm telling you right now that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Your family can change. You can have a revival every day starting tonight. If that's you and you want that, I want you to come down here and let me pray for you. If you want change brought about, transformation brought about in your family, just come on down here right now. Just come. Wait. Don't wait. Just come on and pray. Let him change you. Let him change you. And I'm not going to have you as like, well, Lord, would you just change my spouse? I'm saying, Lord, you're going to say, Lord, change me. You know, one of my favorite pastors and preachers that came through here, Brother Jerry, when I was growing up, is Brother Coleman Lackey. You remember him? He preached a message that I never forgot as a kid. He said the title of the message was, Lord, change me. You can start with you. Amen. Come on. So I know there's more people that need change brought about in your life. You youth, you can come down too, because some of you need to change your attitude, change the way that you've been thinking about your parents. Some of you need to repent for some of the things that you've said about your family. Come on down. Don't wait. Go ahead. God can change you right now. Just come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to start off by thanking the Lord for our families. Go ahead and thank the Lord for your family. Then begin to thank the Lord for each that he put you in the family that he did. He did every bit of it. It's like, Lord, some of you have spoken word curses over your family. Lord, right now we say we thank you. Thank you for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for my kids. Thank you for my parents. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my parents. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus that you would cause transformation to be brought about in the lives of families right now. In Jesus' name, would you change mindsets, Lord, and mindsets of old ways of thinking would be broken tonight in Jesus' name. Would you cause fathers to get back to their posts again and begin to pray, Lord, again for their families? Would you cause fathers and husbands to begin to love their wives as Christ loved the church? Lord, would you call the fathers back home, God, right now in Jesus' name? Come on, you fathers, begin to cry out. Cry out to God for your families. Come on, begin to cry out. Cry out, fathers. I want to hear your voices crying out. Fathers, cry out for your families. Yes. Begin to cry out for them. Lord, I don't, even if you got to say it, Lord, I don't want my kids to go to hell. Lord, I don't want my kids to fall into destruction. Jesus, yes, right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. You mothers, begin to cry out for God to change you and begin to change, Lord, places where we've cursed our husbands and said things about them and disrespected them. Lord, forgive us. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, for transformation and breakthrough in the lives in every place. Listen, every place where the enemy has had a hold, Lord, over our families tonight, it will be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, begin to pray. Be broken right now. Every mindset, every stronghold, every wall, everything will be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Every chain, every hindrance, every barrier to communication, communication barriers, be broken right now in Jesus' name. Words said, broken right now in Jesus' name. Curses, broken right now. Come on, some of you need to lift your voice. Break them! Break them! Break them! We're fighting, contending for our family. Break them! In Jesus' name. We serve you notice Satan right now and say you have no place in our family's life. Neither do we give you any. We break off every chain. Every word curse be broken. Some of you need to get aggressive in the things of God right now. Lord, this is a time for the fight. Lord, in Jesus' name. Every place. Thank you, Lord. Every place, Lord, where the enemy has had a hold, we break it off right now. Thank you, Lord. I break every word curse where fathers have said their kids were not going to amount to anything, that their daughters have had word curses spoken over them. We break that, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. All the curses that have been spoken over children will be broken right now. When I see it right now falling off of people's lives, falling off, curse chains falling off, identity crisis in our young people would come to an end right now in Jesus' name. And they would rise up and call themselves blessed, God, because of your goodness and your mercy. Yes, 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 yes. Freedom, 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 Lord, be released. Freedom, be released, God, right now in Jesus' name. Freedom, be released. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Begin to thank the Lord for breakthrough. Begin to break the Lord. Thank the Lord for breakthrough. Break you. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord, for breakthrough in our family's life tonight. Transformation be brought about. Breakthrough and transformation brought about, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we say that you're a good, good father, Lord. You're a good father. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're releasing the Father's love over us right now. Those of you that don't have your hands raised, I want you to do that right now, because I believe that God is going to release the love of the Father. Here's what the Bible says about the love of the Father, that it, the love of God, it eradicates fear. And for those of you that had fear about your family, fear of success, fear of moving forward, all the fear, it says that the Spirit, with the love of God, the perfect love, cast out all fear. All of it's got to go. 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 So reach your hands up. We're going to receive the love of the Father. Lord, because you're a good Father, we just pray, Lord, right now that you would release it right now. God, would you blow in this place? Would you blow in this place? Blow in this place, God. Blow in this place, Jesus. Blow. Blow in this place, God. Blow. Wind of the Spirit, blow. Thank you, Lord. Blow in this place. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Lord. Yes, Lord. The love of the Father eradicating fear. Alignment, Jesus. Alignment. Alignment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to pray for our young people. Young people, get your hands up high. Get them up high. I want you to get them up high so that you can surrender like you're surrendering. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for the hold that we've had on the enemy's had on our young people to be broken right now in Jesus' name. I prophesy over these young people that they will be extravagant worshipers, God. That they would be extravagant lovers of Christ. That they would be extravagant lovers of Christ. Lord, that they would not be worried about the things of this world, but they would only be concerned with following hard after God, and they would be all-consuming fire, God, right now in Jesus' name. No one will be able to, no enemy in hell will be able to stop, because God has done and already called them, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Yes, God. Some of you young people, ask the Lord. Open your mouth and go. Don't wait for anybody else. Just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do, go ahead and surrender. Say, I surrender. Young people, say it. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender, Jesus. Surrender. Surrender. Jesus. Come on, go ahead and touch. I surrender. I surrender, Lord. Some of you heads of the household need to say the same thing. I surrender. Go ahead and tell the Lord, I surrender. I surrender what I thought it should look like, God, and I surrender it to your hands. I lay my plans down and I say, God, whatever the plans you have for my family, I receive right now. I surrender. Come on, some of you just begin to contend. Cry out. Wives, say, I surrender. Mothers, say, I surrender. I surrender. Go ahead and tell mother, say it. Y'all sound better than the guys do. Go ahead and say, mother, say, I surrender. Come on, tell the Lord, I surrender. I'm tired of waiting up at night wondering about where they are. I'm tired of trying to figure out where they are. And I'm tired of worrying and having knots in my stomach. I'm tired of anxiousness and worry and sleepless night. Say, I surrender. I surrender. Come on, tell them. Moms, wives, say, I surrender. Surrender. I surrender. Yeah. And say yes to God. I surrender. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and begin to thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank the Lord. Open your mouth and sing a new song to the Lord. Yes. And I surrender, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Everybody look up here just for a minute. Now, this is great, but tomorrow and tonight, you're going to get in your car and you're going to drive home. And some of those same circumstances that faced you when you left to come here, some of them be looking you right in the face when you get home. The difference is the people that are driving into that home are different tonight because of what Jesus has done. Amen. Some of them, I'm telling you, just like, well, Lord, when I go back home, I'm still going to have to deal with the same thing that I've been dealing with for so long. But the person that's dealing with it is changed tonight, and it's different tonight. So they're going to look at it in heaven's eyes, and they're going to see a change and be like, you know what, God? We got this. We can do this. We can move forward. We can go forward in the things of God. I don't have to fall back anymore, but I'm advancing into all that you have for us. And you'll begin to see little by little victories in your life. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. Amen. It's good stuff. Some of you parents that have thought that you have failed, I'm telling you, you are not a failure. God is in control. And who He calls, I'm telling you, God, I'm telling you, I have been in places I knew I shouldn't have been, and I have heard my mama's voice. I thought I heard. I was like, did y'all hear that? They'd be like, no, man, you're seeing stuff. Like, no, man, that's my mama. I got to get out of here. Mothers have the power to be able to do that. Can I just tell you? Sometimes dads will be oblivious, but I know moms have power, the power of prayer for some moms will reach around bars and get around buildings and get and arrest you. I'd be like, mama, you okay? Why are you calling me? I just want to tell you I love you, and that's all. I'll talk to you later. I'm telling you, mothers will do that. They'll do it. They got eyes in the back of their head. I don't even know how they know, but they just know. And fathers are going to take their rightful place in the house. They're going to be the leaders of the home. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, strong families. Strong families. Look at your other neighbor and say, strong families. Cultivating a lifestyle of relationship with our families. I want every time, I'm telling you, there's no person in here that's like, I just going to go through life. I want my families to be the best that they can be. God, I want them following hard after you. When I look up, I want to see them following hard after you. Not only do I want to see them following hard after you, I want them to go further than I have ever gone. You want that for your kids? Further than I've ever gone. I want them to go further. I want my ceiling to be their floor. Amen. Where I have not been able to do, I want my kids to stand up and be like, listen, you know, when we were little, our daddies would put us on their shoulders so that we could see better. I'm saying God is putting you on His shoulder, and He's saying, you know what? I want you to see further than you've ever been able to see before, because fathers and mothers and kids are going to take the rightful place in the kingdom. Man, I'm telling you, I love that, because I couldn't be able to see, but my dad said, come on, get up here. Let me show you something that you've not seen before. Fathers, if you do this, I'm telling you, things will change in your family. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is so good. He's so good.